Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Let's get right to it. The news of the day, or certainly one of the big stories of the day, Giannis Antetokounmpo wins his second straight MVP award and became the third player, along with Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon, to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the same season.
Very impressive. Very impressive. And he's 25 years old.
Chris. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the big deal is that a lot of people think that because they went out, Giannis and his Bucks went out 4-1 to the Miami Heat in the second round of the playoffs. And the one game that they won, Giannis got hurt in the first quarter and only played 11 minutes. A lot of people are saying he didn't deserve it. They're saying LeBron James should have won this MVP award. Now, I am an official voter. I take my vote seriously, and I voted for Giannis, and I have absolutely, positively no regrets about voting for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Folks, listen to me. It is a regular season award. The ballots were actually due before they even started playing games in the bubble. So I don't care what happens in the playoffs. It has no bearing on the award. Now, I will say going forward, right, when you see a guy struggle in the playoffs after winning MVP, yeah, that can affect your vote for the next season. But for this season, it was about the first 65 games or whatever it was that each team played before the pandemic struck. And Giannis Antetokounmpo had better individual statistics than LeBron, better traditional stats, points, rebounds, you know, field goal percentage, things like that. He was a better defensive player as evidenced by his Defensive Player of the Year award. He had better analytical stats. He had one of the greatest PERs of all time. And his team, without a second star, without an Anthony Davis, he led the Milwaukee Bucks to the best record in the league. Rob, what more can you ask from a guy when you're looking for the MVP?
Case closed. Case closed. I wrote a column for Deadspin, Chris, today, just saying stop it with the false narrative about that he doesn't deserve it and comparing him to Steve Nash and all this other stuff. It is ridiculous. You just said it. His numbers were as impressive as you can get. And Chris, he also won.
Right.
LeBron didn't have the best record. He didn't have an Anthony Davis. And here's the other case against LeBron. Anthony Davis had better numbers than LeBron, Chris, other than the assists.
He did.
Last year, without Anthony Davis, the Lakers didn't even make the playoffs, regardless of what the circumstances were. And then when Anthony Davis got there, they have a chance to go to the finals. So you can make the case that Anthony Davis was an MVP or helped LeBron and the Lakers get to where they are.
No
so
question.
So stop with the false narrative. No. And it's not a lifetime achievement award. We don't care that this is year 17 and that LeBron James doesn't get any extra credit for this being, he being long in the tooth. He doesn't get any extra credit because he can get a discount at Denny's on breakfast because he's older. None of that stuff matters.
You're right. It's no curve. All right? We're not grading on a curve. The fact that LeBron is 35 in his 17th
means
year.
Means nothing.
Right. Means absolutely nothing. That's what a lot of people start their argument with.
Right.
Wow. Well, he's
look
35.
What he's doing. Yeah. Right.
Look, I'll give you this. Best 17th season by a player in NBA history.
When they make up the award for that, we'll give it to him.
Right.
Chris. How's that?
Right. And I'm not taking an iota away from LeBron. LeBron had a tremendous year. He had a great year. Giannis had a better one. That's all there is to it. And Rob, there are some people.
That's why the vote was the way it was.
It was 85 out of, I believe, 101.
Yes.
First place votes. LeBron, Giannis got 85 out of 101.
That's a route. It's a route, Chris.
It was, look, there are some, a very few. Look, LeBron James is the best player in the world, and he's the best player on the Lakers. But there are some that have argued Anthony Davis is their MVP. You just said it, Rob. Statistically, he led the Lakers in everything but assists. Somebody texted me a little while ago that they think AD's the best player on the Lakers. And they said, look at the numbers, the stats. And they said, John Stockton is rolling over in his grave. We know he's not dead, but just facetiously.
Right.
Saying, where's my MVP award? You know, I led us in assists, but Karl Malone was the MVP. Right.
The MVP. Exactly.
So
a great point.
I'll give you the only time, Rob, that like they bring up the 35 years old, 17 season, that LeBron, you know, that's in the argument. The only time that could potentially enter the argument, Rob, is if LeBron had, say never won an MVP, right? And a bunch of writers, it's happened before, where they give a lifetime achievement award. It shouldn't be, but you know how it is. That would enter into an argument. And I wouldn't be that mad at it if that's the case. If a guy clearly was the best, you know, all-time great, just had never, for whatever reason, won the MVP, deserved it maybe a few years, then you throw that in because he should have one. But outside of that, no.
I'll give you one other thing, and I'd love to hear what people are thinking, but maybe – if they just announced the award, Chris, right after the season before the playoffs start. And then this way, you could get over it. You don't have to remember what happened, and just announce it, and then you go forward, and then you
Excellent
won't have
point.
Any of that. Just announce it.
They don't should have a show, Rob. They should have a nice
you get to the playoffs.
Award show. Right. You got about 4 or 5 days before
just,
the playoffs.
Right. And just
have
make
a nice
it happen,
award show. Yep.
And then we can move forward.
You're not going to get the players there because obviously they're getting ready for the playoffs, but you can get to them, you know, in their home, have them have an interview with them in their home, kind of like they do
Zoom,
on TNT with the All-Star team. Yeah. Make it nice because you're right. And here's the thing. Let's clear up this narrative. I want to list several MVPs, Rob, who won the MVP award and then got ousted in either the first or second round of the playoffs. Because people act like Giannis is the only one. All right, in 2017, Russell Westbrook wins the MVP award and gets beaten 4-1 in the first round of the playoffs. Okay? In 2007, Dirk Nowitzki wins the MVP award, gets upset by Golden State in the first round of the playoffs. I believe Golden State was the 8th seed that year. Dallas was 1. 2002, Tim Duncan wins the MVP award and gets ousted in the second round of the playoffs. Guess what? 4-1. Just like Giannis. 4-1. We're talking about one of the greatest players to ever live. 1999, Karl Malone wins MVP award, booted in the second round of the playoffs. And here's the kicker, Rob. 1988, Michael Jordan wins his first MVP award, wiped out of the playoffs in the second round, 4-1.
There you go. So stop with this, like this is a Giannis thing.
Yes.
And one other thing, Chris. 877-99 on Fox. We'll throw the number out. The other thing is, stop with this whole idea about, if the media likes you or whatever, they vote for you and some secretive narrative. My biggest exhibit A is Barry Bonds, who won seven MVPs, Chris. Seven. Did the media did he like the media? Did the media like Barry Bonds?
Not at all.
Not at all. So stop. Stop
right.
with that.
Great point.
His
Great
talent
point.
Was undeniable. That's why he won the MVP.
Absolutely. The media are far less biased than players, coaches, even fans. And to be honest, Giannis actually won the fan vote too. So that should settle it. Case closed. Now, I will say this last thing before we get to throw out the number for the callers. Rob, a lot of people say, well, they should just wait till the playoffs, include the playoffs and the finals, and give one MVP award. Don't even do a regular season one. Well, that would be the finals MVP.
Right. That's why they give that award.
You're not going to give the playoff MVP award. Let's say you did do that and you wait till after the finals to give the award. You're not giving it to a guy that went out in the second round, even if he was the best player. So let's say Denver loses to the Lakers this round and Jokic is great, but they lose. You could argue Jokic should be the MVP.
Yep.
Would he get it? No, because they got beat. Jimmy Butler, if they lose to Boston or if they get to the finals and lose, would anybody feel good if they gave Jimmy Butler the MVP award? No, because the regular season, he didn't deserve it. And then if he was great in the playoffs, leading Miami to the finals when nobody thought they could get there, but still lost, it wouldn't feel right. So it would always just be the finals MVP. That's why we have the regular season MVP, which we should keep.
It totally makes sense.
And the finals MVP.
They're two separate seasons.
Yep, yep.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
He's a friend of the show, does a fantastic job covering the NBA.
One of our favorite people.
As a national writer, yes, for the Boston Globe. Our man, Gary Washburn. What's up, bruh?
What's happening?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
We are great, man. Now, look, we're going to get to what's going on with the Celtics, but before
but first,
we get
yes.
there, everybody on earth knows you got an MVP vote. Because of you voted for Melo, we know we won't have
that. Was
to
that famous right?
That.
That's right. You know LeBron.
But everybody, you're the most famous voter.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who did you, now? Rob and I, but you know I'm a voter too. I voted for Giannis. Rob says Giannis deserved it. As you know, a lot of people think LeBron got robbed, that he deserved it. Who did you vote for? And what do you say to those? You may have voted for LeBron, for all I know, but what do you say to those who think LeBron should have been the MVP?
Yeah, I voted for LeBron.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
One of the 17, yeah. I think, right? 16 to 17.
Because it was a whitewash, Gary, on this one, 85 for Giannis.
That was shocking. I thought it would be more of a split vote. I thought it might be like, 60-40, something like that, as opposed to 85 and 16, whatever it was. But, I just thought with what LeBron did with the Lakers this year, number one seed, and, they're not playing with a quote-unquote loaded championship roster. I mean, you're talking about Dwight Howard off the street, Avery Bradley pretty much off the street, Rajon Rondo with a bunch of teams, Jared Dudley, Danny Green. I mean, you're talking about guys who are solid players, but it's him and AD and the rest of the guys. So I just thought what he did, lead the league in assists, kind of changed his game, showing all the skill set. I thought he was the MVP. Giannis, amazing season. Nothing against Giannis. I thought Giannis was the MVP last year. He had even better numbers. But I just thought what LeBron did with his team on the floor and bringing L.A. back after a real disappointing first season in L.A., I thought he deserved it.
I'm shocked by your vote, but everybody has their opinion.
Was there any guilt in there, Gary?
No, Chris. I have voted for him since for MVP.
Yes, I'm just wondering.
We've
yeah,
gotten you know, all like... this out. Me and LeBron are cool. We've gotten all this out. We settled it in the bubble. He knows who I am. So
all right.
It's not a level of guilt. I just thought. I thought back-to-back MVPs are really hard to win. So I thought it would be more even, especially with the Lakers. You remember that stretch where I think they beat the Clippers and they beat the Bucks?
It was just a weekend, Gary. Let's not get crazy. Gary, here's my only problem I have with your take on this, is that Giannis won Defensive Player of the Year. His numbers were better. Milwaukee had the best record in the league. And LeBron had Anthony Davis. Right? So when you look at it and you give LeBron credit that they only had two guys, Giannis had one guy, just him. Chris Middleton is not on Anthony Davis's par, and he still had a better record and had the numbers and played both ends of the floor. And Anthony Davis had better numbers than LeBron other than assists. I'm just shocked by your vote.
I thought LeBron, this was a year, and I'm going to take age into account, guys, 35
no,
years old.
No, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it, age. This is not a lifetime achievement.
I can't give him the old man
Rob
vote.
Only likes you taking age into account when it's his age.
That's right.
Right.
When my time comes up and I'm trying to get into the NABJ Hall of Fame.
But let's get to the big news inside the bubble. So what, you were one of those reporting what was going on in the locker room. So what happened with Boston last night? And do you think there's going to be a negative or a positive carryover to all the hoopla in the locker room last night?
Yeah, I can't really say whether it's going to be negative or positive because you don't know how teams are going to come out, how these young guys will respond when there's some, you know, altercations and things like that. We are basically, the locker room, these are not state-of-the-art, you know, 2020 arenas. These are nice arenas that have some limitations. So basically the locker room, we can walk right past the locker room. So they put a partition up, a barrier to where reporters can wait, and then they'll clear you to walk past so when they're ready for interviews. As the league of managers and I were waiting in one of the barriers, there was just a whole lot of yelling. And I didn't have enough experience with yelling, with family fights. And but, you know, we've all been to the cookout and been like, right. Oh, okay, it might be time for me to go home now.
Right.
Cats will start drinking too much and start bringing up the old days. And so there was a lot of yelling. And it was intense and it was extended. Then there was stuff being thrown. You could just hear it, boom, against the wall. So it was like, okay, this is not a normal post game. Like, let's hash it out. This is like there's some serious arguing. It was multiple voices yelling. Like, it's been put on Marcus Smart. Marcus went off on his guys, and it's Marcus. No, Marcus wasn't the only one in there yelling.
Okay,
he was yelling, but he wasn't the only one. So he comes out, and remember, guys, like we're not allowed inside the locker room, guys, because of COVID. So I don't know what the restroom facilities are like in the locker room, but there is a bathroom, men's and women's room, that is next to the locker room that you have to walk outside the locker room and go down the hall to use. So obviously it was time for Marcus to go. So he left the locker room with no shirt on and it's like kind of the game tights and walked to the bathroom toward us. But we're still covered by the barrier. We're still separated by the barrier. And he said, what I quoted in the tweet, y'all on some BS. And he said that to the people that were in the room.
Right.
So he used the bathroom for 5 minutes, and the yelling still continued. It did not stop once he left.
Oh, really? So they were still yelling after he left?
After he left, it continued.
Wow.
And then Gary, are you sure
they weren't arguing about the new contract extension for Brad Stevens, or was something else?
It might have been what kind of plane they're going to take out of the bubble. No, what they were arguing about. It continued once Marcus left the room. Then Marcus walked back in, and it continued after that. And it was multiple voices, and it was uncomfortable. And NBA folks are looking at us like, man, we don't know what to do here because we can't tell you to go back
right.
So you don't hear it. It was an extended time. It was 20 minutes. So, you know, everybody came out. There was nobody with any scratches or marks. So there was no fighting, but it was definitely a hash out, probably as close as you're going to get to an altercation from a team that is obviously frustrated. They're upset. They're angry. And they feel embarrassed because Miami's taking their lunch money in the fourth yep. quarter of both games.
Well, being around these guys, Gary, knowing them, you know, you're around them throughout the seasons. Do you have a feeling, knowing the type of people they are, how they might react? I know Brad is not a confrontational type guy, and, you know, some of the other Kimba's probably not like that either. Do you think, you know, I know you don't know for sure, but do you have a gut feeling on whether, like, this could be a positive that unites them, or it could be something that just destroys their chemistry for the next few games?
Yeah, I think you would like to think that it would be something – because they were able to survive the Toronto series, basically being up 3-0, last second shot, then losing the next game and responding to win 2 out of 3 against the defending champs. You think if they've been through that, they can get through this and just get a game. And at this point, you just want to get a game, feel good about yourself, and then try to get another one. Then you can turn around and talk about taking the series or trying to win the best 2 out of 3. So I do think this will help them. There's probably some things that need to come out, and it's probably a kind of an illustration of how much and how badly they want to win and how upset they are. Because they should be embarrassed, they should be upset, because the plays that are being made down the stretch, Jimmy Butler steals, the guard, Dragic, this stuff, that's hustle plays. That's big time playoff plays. Not this. You can't play 3.5 quarters in the playoffs. We all know that. I don't care what sport you're talking about. You can't play half a game, 3 quarters of a game, expect to come out. You're not that. They're not that good. The Heat have no fear of the Celtics. Go ahead, take a 20-point lead. We'll come back.
Right.
We got three-point shooters. And we got the most confident player in the league, Jimmy Butler. Now, he might not be the best, but he's the most confident player in the league. Jimmy loves Jimmy. And Jimmy knows that Jimmy can make big plays down the stretch.
Yep, that's the truth. All right, that's our man, one of the best in
Gary,
the business.
Thank you, my man. We
NBA writer for the Boston Globe. Gary, great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, bro. Peace.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What I want to get to is I'm going to hit you with from both sides. If LeBron does as most everyone now expects him to do, which is win his 4th championship, what does that do for his legacy? And conversely, if for whatever reason, you know, barring LeBron getting hurt, the Lakers don't win the championship, what will that do to his legacy?
I don't think it's I'm not going to poo-poo winning a championship. He would be 4-6 in 10 trips to the finals. So there's no negative to winning a championship. The only negative in this whole scenario is if he doesn't win. And if he doesn't win, if he doesn't get to the finals, it'll be a major failure. And if he loses in the finals somehow, Chris, say it's Miami and the Lakers and Miami wins. That would be a blow to LeBron and his minions. There's just no way around it because everybody had automatically assumed, and I think that would hurt him. He has more to lose if he has way more to lose if he loses, and I don't think he gains as much if he wins. It's not like winning 4 championships negates the 6 losses. Like, there's no like, oh, wow, okay, 1 is 4th, and now we're not going to look at the 6 losses any worse. I don't believe that. The people who think that he's the GOAT will use that another win as some sort of ammo, but the 6 losses are glaring, and I don't think that you could overcome that. You know, unless he won, Chris, I don't know, 3 or 4 more in a row or something like, you know what I mean? It would have to be of that magnitude for you to kind of look at the 6 losses and discount them. So does he gain something? He gained something with the people who already think he's that guy. I don't think it changes anybody's mind for the people who don't believe he's better than Michael Jordan, even with a 4th ring. And if he loses, he would be in a situation where I think even his minions and fanboys and all his fans would have a hard time making that argument for him and continuing the better than Michael narrative. I would officially say that would have to be dead, and no one would be able to bring that up at a bar or, you know, hanging out with your friends, because people wouldn't be able to buy into that if he had this supposedly 4th championship on a platter and he doesn't win it.
Yeah, look, I think he's got a great deal to gain. 4 championships sounds so much better than 3. Especially because The one of the arguments that LeBron has in the argument, you know, between him and Jordan is longevity. But longevity can work against you if you don't win. So, yes, he's been great for 17 years. Colin Cowherd said the other day, earlier in the week, that LeBron is the greatest player for the greatest amount of time. Like, which I would agree. I mean, he looks like he's still in his prime in his 17th year, which we've never seen before. But longevity can work against you if you start saying, well, Jordan won 6 championships in basically 11 full seasons. He was out. He was hurt for one almost the entire year. He came back from baseball, played 18 games, something like 17, 18 games. Then he went to Washington as an old man, 39 and 40 years old. And you know, so he, even if you say he won 6 in 15 years, and that sounds so much better than 3 in 17 years. And so a
3 in 17 years is hard, right? It's hard.
It doesn't knock you off your feet by any stretch, you know? 4 doesn't either, but it's still much better. And of course, Rob, and I'm going to say this too. Of course, LeBron will become the first player ever to lead 3 different franchises to championships, which is great. That is a notch in his belt in the argument with Jordan. As you know, it doesn't put him on the over the top, in my opinion, but it is a good little piece to have, because that does say a lot that LeBron could go to 3 different franchises and lead them to championships. And I'm going to say this, Rob, even though I had picked Kawhi, it is fitting. It is more fitting. It is more appropriate that LeBron become the first player, if indeed he does, to lead 3 franchises to the championship than Kawhi. Here's why I say it. Because LeBron truly, truly led, if he wins this one, 3 teams to the championship. Truly. They were his team. Each one of those teams was his team. Kawhi, historically, people would have looked at it, the details would have become fuzzy, and they would have seen he was the finals MVP 3 times. Wow. He led 3 different teams to the championship. He really didn't. I mean, obviously he didn't now, but I mean, he didn't lead San Antonio to the championship. He was a role player on that team. It was Duncan's team, and then it was Parker and Ginobili after that. He was good in the finals, don't get me wrong. He deserved an MVP as much as anybody, but it wasn't his team. It was like Iguodala winning it for Golden State. It wasn't his team.
But he didn't
lead them.
But what about the flip side? LeBron and them don't get there or don't win.
That hurts. That hurts. The question is, does it hurt him enough to take him from number 2?
It could hurt him enough to take him from number 2 if Kevin Durant goes to Brooklyn and wins back-to-back. I'm just throwing out a scenario.
Yeah,
Kevin
Durant would have to really go berserk.
Kevin Durant goes to Brooklyn. They win back-to-back, right? Which would be 2 years that LeBron's still in the league, right?
Right. Because right now Durant's not really in that conversation.
But if he does something crazy. That's what I mean. It would have to be something of that ilk to even have that conversation. I agree with you. He's not in that conversation.
Right. It would definitely hurt LeBron's legacy.
Because everybody thinks it's a layup.
On a platter, yep. Right. This is set out on a platter for him. And the thing is, because one thing people always use, Rob, and it is legitimate to a degree, is that they say LeBron ran into, who was beating Kevin Durant and the 73-win Warriors? And which is true. Nobody was beating him. All right, so people always throw that out. Here's the problem with that argument. When LeBron had a stacked deck in Miami, he only won 2 out of 4.
It's not like
if he had run the table, even
if
3 out of 4.
If they won all 4, right.
Had they won three
in a row, Chris, that would have put them in a rarefied air.
That would have been an all-time great team. Without question. But because he didn't run the table, now you can say, yeah, okay, we get that, but he didn't win it even when he had a stacked deck every year.
Absolutely.
And then this year, Rob, this would be more ammunition for that argument, right? It would be, hold on, he didn't run the table or even win 3 out of 4 when he had the stacked deck in Miami. And then when he had, you know, a clear path to the championship.
They didn't win.
In 2020, they didn't win.
Right.
So that it would hurt. Right now, I don't think it would take him down from number two.
I'm not saying that. Right.
But it would definitely. And you're right, Rob, for those that want to argue for LeBron, it would be a lot tougher.
It would
than it
be.
Already
I mean,
is,
they would they wouldn't go. Have yeah. a leg to stand on, Chris.
It'd be
I'm
hard,
talking about
yeah.
in a real debate. You know yep. what I mean? Like, you would have a hard time pushing that narrative if they lost.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Let's get to the football. It's a big weekend. Now, we just had on Trolling or Rolling, where Martin Weiss was bringing up how, you know, when you're 0-2, it's tough to make the playoffs. Since 2007, Rob.
Do you have the numbers? Okay, yeah, that's what I wanted.
98 teams have started the season 0-2, and only 12.2% have made the playoffs.
That's incredible, Chris.
No, it's difficult to do, especially think about it. You got 16 games, you would think, wow, that's not, you know, you should be able to bounce back from that. But only 12% of the teams have. So it's a hole. So what I want to throw out to you, Rob, we got about 4 games that I'm looking at that, you know, teams that are expected to make the playoffs or at least contend for the playoffs right. are 0-1. And, you know, according to the stats, they really need to win this week. So we got Atlanta at Dallas. Both teams are 0-1. Some people are expecting something from Atlanta, but certainly from Dallas. So that's one. We got the Vikings, Minnesota at Indianapolis.
That's a big game
right?
for both of them, Chris.
Both of
big
them.
Game.
Both are 0-1. Both are – you and I pick Minnesota to win their division. You pick Indianapolis, so big game
right.
for both of them. Carolina's at Tampa Bay. Now, Carolina, I don't think anybody expects them to make the playoffs, but obviously Tampa Bay. But both are 0-1. And then you've got San Francisco, defending NFC champions.
And the Jets.
Against New York Jets. You pick them – to win the AFC East. So
yep.
all those teams are 0-1. I want to ask you which one of those, it's not even just 4. I mean, almost all 8 of them.
Almost all both, 8 are in
right?
the same boat. Right,
right.
Almost.
Which team do you think needs the win the most?
I think it's the Indianapolis Colts with an older quarterback who struggled last year. It's a home game, Chris. If Minnesota loses, they're on the road. Not that they want to lose. They're on the road. You know how hard it is to win games on the road in the NFL.
Right.
Dallas has a little bit of a break because the NFC East isn't that tough.
Right.
I know Washington looked great week 1. The Giants aren't that great. Philly, you don't know what they're going to do with them. You know, like, I'm expecting good things, but they got off to a terrible start. Defensively, right? Gave up a lot of points.
And offensively.
So, yeah, but mostly defensively. Gave up 27 on that. So
yeah, that
honest.
Means you couldn't score.
Whatever.
I mean,
whatever.
Look
but
at
my
you.
Point is, I'm going to say the Colts in that game, I think that they have to win. Otherwise, they're going to be in trouble.
I'm going, that's a fair one because I agree that they need to win.
And Tampa Bay, I didn't get to mention Tampa is another big one, but I'm going to stay the Colts.
I'm going to go with San Francisco because I know everybody was expecting big things. I picked them to make the playoffs. I think you did too. But it is not impossible. It's not even an anomaly that much. For a team that made the Super Bowl to miss the playoffs the following year. You know, we saw it with, what, Philadelphia. We saw it, well, not Philadelphia right away, but we saw it with Cam Newton's Carolina Panthers. We saw it with somebody
it
else recently.
More, it
yeah,
happens it, more it, often it, than it, you think.
Right. It happens quite a bit. And obviously last week was a bad loss. But if they lose to the Jets, you lost to Arizona, who nobody really is expecting anything from except a little bit of improvement. And that's a division game. You lost to them. If you lose to the Jets, who I know you like them, Rob, but
you
most
know what's
people
funny,
don't.
Though? You know what's funny, Chris? Last year, guess who lost to the Jets at home and it wound up killing them?
Who?
I mean, they lost to the Jets on the road in Jersey. It was the Cowboys. You remember that ugly game they lost to the Jets?
Oh, yeah. Yep,
think about
yep,
that.
Yep.
It was the Jets.
But the Jets looked horrible in the opener. They're already, you know, critical, questioning Sam Darnold here in New York. And if the Niners go out and lose to them coming off a loss, so where you expect your antennas to be up, you expect you to be, you know, coming out like we got to get this win. If they lose to the Jets in that division, I know Jets aren't in their division, but I mean, knowing you've got Arizona again and you've got all the teams you got to deal with in that division, I think they would be in big trouble. And I mean, look, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a pretty good quarterback. But Rob, I have never seen a guy. This guy is 21-6 in his career as a starter. And yet, he is so doubted. I know he misses some big throws. We know he missed the big one in the Super Bowl to Emmanuel Sanders. He misses some big throws. But the dude has been a winner so far. And if they don't win and if he doesn't light it up or just plays poorly, I think it's going to really be problems in San Francisco. And so that's the team I think needs the W more than anybody else.
It'll be interesting to see what people think, because there's a lot. And then we could make the case for Chris, if Tom Brady struggles, just say they lose. Tom Brady struggles, throws two picks. I'm just giving you a scenario.
If he plays poor, I think they can overcome or handle, sustain a loss if he plays well.
Right.
But yeah, if he plays poorly again, yeah, it is going to be drama central down there in Tampa.
I really believe that. I do. I think people would be like,
I hear you.
Like 0-2, now you've dug yourself into a hole. You know, he's getting older, you know, not younger.
And who knows what Bruce Arians might say.
Yeah, I mean, and then
hey,
who knows?
Look, in practice, he looked like Tom Brady. I mean, I'm stunned. I can't believe what I'm seeing out. You know what I mean? Like, who knows what Bruce Arians would say? So it could get crazy.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.